The headlines: the death toll from the Israeli genocide in Gaza tops 34,300 as the regime's airstrikes and artillery fire keep pounding the besieged territory. Israeli forces carry out fresh violent raids in the occupied West Bank, killing a Palestinian teenager in Ramallah. And U.S. police attack students holding anti-Israel campus rallies in protest at the regime's genocide in Gaza, arresting hundreds of protesters. Hello and welcome everybody. Here in the Iranian capital, Tehran, this is World News. More than 200 days into Israel's genocide in Gaza, Palestinians continue to fall victim to the regime's indiscriminate airstrikes and artillery fire across the besieged strip. Palestinian journalist Muhammad Bassam al-Jamal has been killed along with his family members in an attack on their house in the city of Rafah. His death brings 139 the number of journalists killed in the Gaza war. A separate attack targeting a highway in central Gaza left at least 8 Palestinians dead. Dozens of people are also killed and injured in strikes on several other locations, including the Al Zaytun neighborhood in the southeast, the Shati refugee camp, and the Nasser neighborhood in the west, and Khan Yunis in the south of Gaza. The death toll from the Israeli war on Gaza has now surpassed 34,300, including 14,000 children. Over 77,000 people have also been injured, while thousands more remain unaccounted for. There is no end in sight to Israeli raids on the occupied West Bank. The regime's forces have carried out an incursion into the city of Ramallah. A 16-year-old boy was killed after they fired live rounds on a group of Palestinians. The regime has intensified its raids and attacks across the occupied territory since launching a genocidal war on Gaza in October. We were earlier joined by our correspondent in Ramallah, Munir Kandil, for more details.
It's obvious now that every time the Israeli forces storm Palestinian areas, villages, towns, cities, the Israeli soldiers use their guns, even if there are no threats against them from the Palestinians. This time, Israeli soldiers raided the city of Ramallah, stormed Atiri area, stormed the old town of Ramallah, as well as the Umm Sharayat neighborhood, in order to arrest Palestinians. This is what the Israeli military continue to justify the raiding of Palestinian areas. During the military to Ramallah, Israeli soldiers opened fire at Palestinians who went to the streets in order to prevent any Israeli aggression against the people. During the military, the Israeli forces opened fire, shot and killed 16-year-old Khaled Arkawi. Khaled Arkawi from Jenin city, and the Palestinians in Jenin city and refugee camp mourned Khaled Arkawi, and they were expecting his body to be transferred from Ramallah to Jenin in order to be buried there.
The Israeli military has carried out yet another attack on eastern Lebanon as tensions flare up between the regime and the Hezbollah resistance movement over Gaza. Our correspondent Mariam Saleh joined us earlier from the Lebanese capital Beirut with more details.
Yes, we have seen that the Israeli army has launched several attacks against the eastern parts of the country. But now we are talking about an attack that is very close to the city of Baalbek itself. We also know that it targeted an area, or perhaps the drone attack missed the truck which was containing fuel. And so that was very close, a very close call, actually. The targeting of this truck could have ended or resulted in a huge, a massive explosion, which could have led to a lot of casualties. Fortunately, it seemed that the rocket had hit somewhat of a sandy area, or the sides of the road, instead of hitting the truck directly, and that only led to maybe some wounds. And we have the driver has sustained some wounds. So fortunately, it was a close call. But this is considered definitely a violation of what we are looking at as rules of engagement, or the rules that are put forth of this war that is taking place between Hezbollah and Israel. We notice how Hezbollah is consistently retaliating based on the Israeli aggression. Once the Israelis, of course, attack civilians, Hezbollah then retaliates by using Katyusha rockets, by using Glad rockets. Hezbollah has made it clear in many of their operations that they are directly targeting Israeli soldiers. Hezbollah has said in the last 200 days of combat, we have seen casualties among the Israelis, although it is not very evident. The Israelis are not admitting to it, but Hezbollah are estimating the number of Israeli soldiers either killed or wounded to 2,000. And so this is a very big number.
Germany has withdrawn a warship from the Red Sea following the failure of an EU military mission to confront Yemen's maritime campaign in support of the Gaza Strip. The frigate had been deployed in the strategic waterway in February in the face of pro-Palestine operations by the Yemeni armed forces. Abdul Latif al-Mushali reports from Sana'a.
Its mission alongside an American and British coalition. This coalition aimed to safeguard Israeli navigation amidst Yemeni forces imposing a stifling blockade on Israeli maritime traffic.
A bigger war was looming large after the appearance of Western fleets in the Red Sea. The vision has now become clear after the operations of the Yemeni army and Ansarullah against Israeli ships. Certainly, there is another tactic, vision, and attempts to find solutions after the Western failure to stop the Yemeni attacks. The withdrawal is not a radical withdrawal and may be a strategic change in Western plans in the Red Sea.
While some military experts speculate that this German departure may indicate repositioning and preparation for a major regional war, the Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs welcomed the withdrawal, underscoring Sana'a's primary concern for the safety of international maritime navigation. He urged the world to treat Yemen with respect to safeguard their interests.
The departure of the German frigate from the Yemeni coast is the beginning of the departure of many ships, despite American pressure on countries to join the U.S. operations in the Red Sea. In fact, the Yemeni army possesses weapons carrying new surprises that will force all Western ships to leave. We are prepared for any scenario that the West is planning, whether returning to a broader war or otherwise. Our siege on Israel will continue and will not stop unless the aggressive war on Gaza stops.
Germany's FGS Hessen becomes the fourth warship to depart from the Red Sea since the inception of the European Union's naval mission Aspides, which alongside the US-led coalition has failed to protect Israeli-affiliated vessels from Yemeni attacks supporting Palestinian resistance.
With Yemen's armed forces having successfully attacked over 100 vessels linked to Israel, observers speculate that recent Western actions may indicate preparation for a new phase of confrontation with Yemeni forces. However, Sana'a has reiterated that Yemen's pro-Palestinian naval operations will persist until the Israeli war on Gaza comes to an end. Latif al-Washali, Sana'a.
U.S. police have arrested nearly 100 pro-Palestinian protesters at the University of Southern California's campus demonstrations continue to spread across the country. American students from California to Massachusetts hold sit-ins in support of Palestinians in Gaza. The protesters call for a ceasefire in the besieged strip and an end to the U.S. support for the Israeli regime. Some of them chant slogans such as, Jews want the end of the war. On many campuses, the students have set up tents to press their demands. They're also calling on U.S. universities to divest from companies with ties to Israel. Hundreds of students and others have been arrested at Columbia, Yale, and New York University since Friday. Pro-Palestine protests have been held in numerous other universities in Texas, Ohio, California, New York, and Michigan. American students continue their peaceful sit-ins on university campuses in protest of the Israeli genocide in Gaza and the U.S. government's support for the Tel Aviv regime. Let's take a listen to some of the students who keep protesting despite police crackdown on the rallies.
The goal, I think, was to start an encampment, but earlier this morning they were accosted by police officers. Apparently they were told to come and ruin their encampment that they were starting to build. Anyone who will stay on the grass will be arrested, and so there are people who decided to stay. They're all interlinked in the center.
As a African-American person, I understand what it is to have your rights taken away. Not at the scale of Palestinians, but I understand what it means to have your rights taken away or to be treated badly. This was a quiet protest. We did not hurt anyone, hit anybody, start any riots. So basically, it was a protest that was very civil, and they came and started hitting people and started arresting people.
Russia has warned that it will target NATO's nuclear weapons if the Western military alliance deploys them in Poland. We discussed the issue in our news review program, and stick us into what our guests had to say about that. News review, where we look deeper into some of the top stories of the day. On this segment of the program, Moscow has warned NATO against deploying nuclear warheads in Poland after Warsaw officials said they would welcome such a move by the Western military alliance. The Russian deputy foreign minister said NATO nuclear weapons in Poland will be on the military target if deployed there. Sergei Ryabkov also called the potential deployment a threat to Russia's national security. On Monday, the Polish president said Warsaw is ready to host nuclear arms if NATO decides, in the face of Russia's reinforcing its armaments in Belarus and Kaliningrad. In June 2023, Russian President Vladimir Putin confirmed that Russia had sent tactical nuclear arms to Belarus, which borders Ukraine and Poland. Well, joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have journalist and political commentator Samuel Geddes joining us from Melbourne. Also, we have journalist Dmitry Zolotarev joining us from Irkutsk, Russia. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Geddes and give us your perspective on this warning coming from Moscow against NATO deploying nuclear warheads in Poland.
Well, I don't think the statement in and of itself is particularly new or surprising. What I think is more significant is that this comes right on the heels of the $95 billion aid package just signed off by the American Congress, as I'm sure you know, most of which is earmarked for weapons transfers to Ukraine. This really seems to just underline the fact that the United States, as in Gaza, has no interest, or certainly does not display any interest in de-escalation, as in with regards to Ukraine, of trying to find some kind of diplomatic settlement to the conflict. Rather, it is continuing to fuel it at the cost of thousands of Ukrainian and Russian lives. So in that context, it doesn't seem particularly surprising that Russia would issue such a warning. The US and NATO in particular have an enormous amount of leverage, if they wanted to use it, to try and bring the Ukraine conflict to an end, that leverage being their military support, massive military support to Ukraine, but they are evidently uninterested in using that leverage to end the war. They're choosing to use it to continue it.
Mr. Zolotarev, I want to get your perspective on the issue as well. Do you think it would be a wise move for NATO to deploy nuclear warheads in Warsaw?
It absolutely would be if they seek a suicide. Yeah, sure, why not? They don't blow smoke, they don't waste words. So if Russia promises something, it's pretty likely to keep it. So, you see, our things to me, like, you know, a couple of idiots who just listening to the teacher of chemistry, don't mix these chemicals. They sneak into the chemistry class and just to see what happens, mix them. One, it goes off or produces poisonous gas and they die. That's what happens. So that's what NATO tries to do with Poland. They know that the war in Ukraine is coming to an end. It's inevitable. And Russia is going to win. They know that. So I think they try to create ground for another conflict. It just proves that no one matters to them. Neither Ukraine, neither Poland, neither Baltic states, neither anybody. They're just using them. That's what I see in it. And, well, yes, if Russia sees NATO's nuclear weapons just next to its borders, Russia is pretty likely to destroy it with conventional weapon, not using nuclear weapon.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to leave it there. Thanks to journalist and political commentator Samuel Geddes joining us from Melbourne, and thanks to Mr. Dmitry Zolotarev speaking to us from Irkutsk, Russia. Moving on, the Afghan population is facing severe food insecurity, putting them one step away from famine. As the situation nears a critical point, Afghans are already struggling to secure their basic needs for survival. Rahmatullah Baghwan reports from Kabul.
A recent United Nations report predicts that approximately 16 million individuals in Afghanistan will be struggling to gain access to food this year. To get a better understanding of the situation, we visited a family in Kabul facing acute food shortages. The Rukhshana family's daily struggle mirrors the difficulties faced by countless households across the country.
I lost my husband during the war in our hometown. I don't have a male provider and I can't find a source of income. One of my grandkids polishes boots, but that is not enough for our family. It has been a long time since the last time we had rice and potatoes in our home. We barely eat two meals a day, which is stale breads and tea. My children are asking for soup and I feel so bad as I can't make it for them.
Our situation here is so difficult that we can hardly survive. It is because there is no income or food to eat. If we eat during the day, we should sleep with empty stomachs at night. There are people who skip meals to feed their children. Some families beg for food but fail to find some because almost no one has a better situation. We used to receive some aid from the United Nations World Food Program, but now it is gone and has left people to their fate.
According to the UN report, the Afghan population cannot fulfill essential needs, including health care, food, employment, and shelter. Some local experts argue that the current hardships faced by Afghans stem from prolonged foreign interventions and conflicts, suggesting that those involved bear a responsibility to aid in the crisis resolution.
I think all the misery and economic hardships that Afghans are going through today stem from the shameful U.S.-West intervention and wars in Afghanistan. If they had let us build constructive economic relations with our neighbors, we would not be so broken today. The U.S. and its allies are responsible because they came and destroyed our infrastructure here, and on the other hand, they imposed economic sanctions after their withdrawal. Today, they cannot turn a blind eye on what they have created.
As the international community's attention shifts away from Afghanistan and the foreign aid continues to shrink, the Afghan people still hope for a means of survival that will pull them back from the edge of crisis. Millions of Afghans are facing emergency levels of food insecurity and malnutrition. The UN agencies warn that the situation is expected to worsen rapidly if urgent action are not taken by the global community. Rahmatullah Baghwan, Kabul.
And that brings us to an end here on this edition of the World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن
by means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
All of us should feel we have a responsibility with regard to Gaza. April 10th, 2024. Islamic governments should cut economic and political relations with the Zionist regime, at least temporarily. As long as the Zionists are continuing these crimes, Islamic governments should cut relations with them. They, Islamic governments, should stop supporting them and should cut relations with them. This is what we expect from Islamic governments. It is not just our expectation. It is the expectation of Muslim nations. If they hold a referendum in Islamic countries now, everyone will undoubtedly vote for their government to cut relations with the Zionist regime. This is definite. We are hopeful, God willing, that Almighty God will awaken all of us, show us our duties, and enable us to carry out our duties.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The following is a part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the heads of Iran's three branches of government and a number of current and former government officials. The meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on April 3, 2024. Firstly, I would like to extend my gratitude to Mr. Raisi, our Honorable President, for his statements. He shared some good information with us. I pray that God will reward him, help him, grant him strength, and allow him to continue in his efforts in the same way, God willing. I would like to share a few words with you about the month of Ramadan. There are not many days left, and we need to appreciate the month of Ramadan. I will then discuss one or two matters related to the current affairs of the country. Ramadan is a blessed month in every sense of the word. The term blessed month is not just a pleasantry. This month truly is a blessed month as it develops and betters the inner spiritual abilities of individuals in various aspects. It elevates people in both their human and divine characteristics. The betterment of individuals and society leads to the betterment of society as a whole. There is no doubt about this. When I mentioned there are different aspects, I was referring to fasting, the recitation of the Quran, which has been emphasized and encouraged for this month with people being promised increased reward, beseeching God, reading supplications, and reciting the recommended prayers for this month.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Migration is everybody's right. All people are free to look for some other places to reach their hopes and ambitions. From long ago, humans have searched for new places where they could live better. Today, you can achieve this aim more easily. People can immigrate to other countries to achieve their goals. Iran is a popular country among immigrants. There are those who may choose this country for their pursuing their education, as well as those who may find it a suitable place to live because of its weather, culture, and civilization. Dr. Orbadov spends her free time with her daughter. Like any other Iranian mother, she's concerned about her daughter's future. On the other hand, she's really happy that her daughter cares as much as about ethical and religious issues, especially that she has chosen to be a Muslim. She tries to take care of her daughter while her husband is studying abroad. She wants to make sure that her daughter doesn't feel her father's absence. They go shopping together, spend lots of their time with each other. They are like two good friends. She hopes that her daughter too can find the right path to happiness and fulfill her wishes in life.
ساری هست حالا شما شروع بکنین کار رو.
The classes are like spiritual trips for Raja. He draws passionately and teaches drawing with the same passion. He's been warmly accepted by his students. Being an immigrant hasn't been a problem for him. In his classes, Raja tries to practice exactly the way he has learned from his professors. He spends a lot of time and energy for his students.
I have a few students in my drawing classes. I can't rely on my teaching for a living. It's for recreation, not for money. This is how I keep myself in an environment that deals with art. Iran is far more progressive than my country in art, especially in graphics. Some Iranian painters and their works are at the global level. I have worked in some Arab countries too, but Iran is way more progressive in fields like poster design and illustration. In art, if you stop practicing for 3 to 6 months, it will be really hard to get back on the track.
مثلا روانتر نمیشه خیلی سخته که دوباره روابط برقرار کنم دوست دارم که مثلا همون جوری که از لیسانس فوق لیسانس شروع کنم.
I'm now as involved in art and I was when I was doing my BA or MA. I see my old friends and I go to exhibitions with them. We sometimes meet in galleries like Saba, Khane Hunarmandan or the Museum of Contemporary Art. I'll go to all new exhibitions with my friends or students. The more works you see and the more you are involved, the better results you will get.
Book exhibition is a great chance for Fakhriye, and she spends lots of money on books. She wants to have a library with Persian books in Turkey.
There are Persian literature programs at universities in Turkey, and they need experts for them. I'm going to teach in one of those universities when I finish my studies.
Thank you.
استادایی که اینجا هستن.
When I was a freshman, it was really interesting for me to see that my teacher held my hand to draw since I was not good at drawing. Mr. Mustafa Voti used to hold my hand and show me how to draw and how to move my hand. That motivated me to work harder.
این خیلی جالب بود و یه انرژی بیشتر میداد که مثلا مایل میکرد که بیشتر کار بکنم.
Raja tries to learn as much as he can. He has devoted all his life to learn the art of painting and drawing. He has also learned Persian well to bring more depth to his art.
زبان فارسی خیلی خوب شد به سود من شد مثلا در کنار.
Besides drawing, graphic and artwork, I've translated 3 books into Urdu and I have made some money this way. So other than studying, I've been busy doing some other useful stuff.
درس کارهای دیگه هم انجام بده که یه درآمدی باشه که سخته مثلا فقط فضای درس.
Iran, its people, the university and all, I know that I owe them a lot. Persian culture and its art are so rich that you can't give a full account of them in a short time.
با یه مدت کوتاه نمیشه مثلا معرف کرد.
He's trying to introduce the Persian culture to Pakistanis by translating some books from Persian into Urdu, and he considers it as his professional contribution. Raja is hopeful about his future. He also knows that he has a long way ahead.
I love mountain climbing. We used to do it with my family since I was a kid. Romanian people love to go into the nature, and Romanian families all have the necessary equipment for it.
Dr. Orbitov goes mountain climbing every weekend with her daughter and her Iranian friends. She has a poetic interpretation of mountain climbing. She believes ascending a mountain brings hope to her heart, that there'll be a better tomorrow.
Mountain refreshes you. Clean air and physical activities make you feel good. Now everybody knows how vital it is for people's health, especially for heart and muscles. I love to live in the nature, so every morning I could open the doors of my clinic and see the jungle and trees. I like it very much. Nature is refreshing. In summers, people travel to Romania from countries with hot climate. Every morning at sunrise, you can open the windows and hear all kinds of birds singing. Romania has a long, cold winter, but its summers are really beautiful.
Dacă aș vrea să spun în câteva cuvinte cum e să trăiești în Iran, aș spune în felul următor.
It's hard to live in Iran, but to me, of its beauties are worth even bearing more hardship.
Treburile zilnice.
The beauties are related to the culture, to the religion, and to Iranians' attitudes. But it has also lots of difficulties.
Recompensează.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The Last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, The Last Savior. Today, dear scholar, Brother Ali is our guest. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, in this program we talk about the Imam al-Mahdi, al-Jalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, may Allah hasten his reappearance in general, and specifically in these series of this program, we are talking about the main companions of Imam al-Mahdi, al-Jalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, may Allah hasten his reappearance. In a previous episode, we talked about the number of the different classes of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. We said that it consists of three classes, and after that we talked about the characteristics, and we talked a bit about their nationalities, and now we are going to continue our discussion.
Look, since the concept of Mahdi or Mahdism is really sweet and interesting, so
of course
like
it is.
Talk about it and to portray for ourselves at least those days and beautiful or green days and nights that is awaiting us to inshallah see and sense. Hopefully we shall be among the
inshallah
ones who are going to feel those days. So by itself is really interesting to see, okay, what the whole Prophet said, what the other Imams have been saying about the Imam alayhi salam and his companion. So it's this sweetness comes from this, that the name of Mahdi alayhi salam revives the heart.
Full of hope,
definitely. So let's refer to some of the narrations from the Holy Prophet again to talk about the, when the Holy Prophet talks about the companions of Mahdi alayhi salam, the Holy Prophet says, for him there are treasures in Talqan. Talqan, a part of, old Iran, and which was also known to be a part of, for example, Iraq of that time.
And now we have in Iran a part.
This area of, for example, the center of Iran and upward would be known as, for example, Talqan. And it is located, this Talqan that we are now talking about is a part of center to north of Iran. It is located somewhere here. This area is known to be as Talqan. But not the city of Talqan that we have it today. Though it is a part of it, it can be a part of it.
It can be a part of it.
But not when we are talking about Talqan in the hadith, in the language of narrations, it is not necessarily the center, that the city that we know as Talqan today. So the Holy Prophet says, for him there are treasures in Talqan, not of gold or silver, but fine horses and capable, effective men. The concept of horses here might be, for example, the kind of, let's say, vehicles that transfer people from one place to other. So it sometimes it is a horse. In future, maybe the audience did not have the capacity to hear, for example, there are some cars or airplanes, or I don't know, some different other, let's say, vehicles that are going to transfer people from one place to another. So some of the effective men of Imam will come from that area as well. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, godly men will gather around him, uphold his call and assist him. They are his ministers who take on the burdens of the country for him and aid him in the great responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on him. So these people are not ordinary people. They are the people that can even manage a country. They are people that can manage a big community. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, they are the chiefs, judges, jurists, religious scholars. So they are not ordinary people. Any of them equals, as we said, that from the viewpoint of knowledge, from the viewpoint of power, they are not ordinary people. We don't want to say that, for example, they have been made through miracles. No, they have actually worked on themselves and they became,
this is the point,
knowledgeable. They have been working on themselves to be apt, to be suitable, to be included among the companions of Imam.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old pain.
Welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program The Last Savior with me, Matthew, your host, and dear scholar, Brother Ali. And we're talking about the characteristics of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi, Jalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, through a narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
Imam continues and says that they are the holders of banners, that they are ruling over the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the scene of the earth from Allah, from the side of Allah. They have received this order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hum ashabul wilaya wa hum hukam Allah fi aradi ala khalqi. That is, they are going to be the rulers appointed by Allah, I mean, or supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His creatures. Again, based on another narration, they are the best of the nations that accompany with the Ahlul Bayt. They are the best of creatures and the best of nations who come and accompany Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and to be included among his companions.
So the criteria of this goodness is being with Ahlul Bayt.
Definitely.
Not actually these knowledges or scientific issues that we have. Can it be the same?
When a drop is connected to an ocean, I mean, then you see that this is no more a drop. It is an ocean. Ahlul Bayt are like oceans. Anyone who wants to feel their bigness, the vastness of the ocean, just needs to get connected with them. Uh-huh. I mean, when you connect to Ahlul Bayt, the family, or the household of the Holy Prophet, the lineage of guidance starting from the Holy Prophet, even this science or whatever comes to a person and whatever a person gains and actually becomes a holder of it, whether to be entitled as a scientist or any other title. So when this science is connected with Ahlul Bayt, it becomes connected with the ocean. And then, uh-huh. I mean, it will benefit the whole creatures, like the blessings of the Ahlul Bayt, which is showering its blessings or the health or the over the people in different societies. So all in all, what we said, that they are not ordinary people. They have, yes, they are the people that they have worked on themselves a light, and they are really efficient and skillful people. They are the people that are trusted to transfer or to keep the mystery of Imam alayhi salam. Uh-huh. And also, as we said earlier in our previous sessions, that 50 of them are among the ladies and sisters. So among these 313.
Oh, 50 are ladies.
Yeah, 50 of them are among the ladies and sisters. When we are talking about the characteristics of these 313, one might understand that, for example, even this trait might be in them as well.
Uh-huh.
So we had, such ladies who were brave in the course of history, even the history of Islam, that at the time of the Prophet, or even at the event of Karbala, that there were some really courageous ladies that Imam alayhi salam asked them not to enter, because Imam avoided them to enter.
One of them, I think, is Umm Wahab,
yeah,
she was the mother of Wahab.
Yeah, mother of Wahab, when her son when his son got martyred, she wanted to enter the battlefield herself, but Imam actually prohibited her from entering the battlefield and asked her just to be in the tents. So I want to say, in the course of history, we have seen and witnessed some ladies had this courageous morale to help the right wing, the truthful wing, to help and to be among these history-making ladies in the world.
The audience, let's take a break, and then we are going to continue our discussion with Brother Ali.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old pain.
You're still listening to the program The Last Savior with Brother Ali, and he's talking about the companions of Imam al-Mahdi, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajah sharif, may Allah hasten his reappearance. We talked about some of the characteristics of these companions, actually the first class of the companions, which are 313 people. We said that among 15 of these people are ladies. Now, dear brother, let's talk about the special mission of these companions. Yeah. What are they going to do?
Look, brother, the first mission of the Imam's companions is an all-out war against the arrogant of the world and oppression. Whatever is the missing, actually, point of humanity or human beings or mankind in the whole history. Like, in order to establish justice, one should stand in front of oppression and justice to remove all the elements of injustice. So this mission would start here from these companions, and they are the ones who are going to be the holders of this banner and to start this uprising through these people. And this, let's say, confrontation. The special companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam are either the theoretician of this revolution, like the role that Ammar played for Imam Ali alayhi salam, to persuade the people intellectually. What is this?
Pave the way, actually.
To pave the way for Imam's movement. And this is the nature of divine missions of the Holy Prophet, just to persuade people intellectually and to actually tell them that rationally this way that they are going to step in is a good and wise and decent way. So without this, nothing can happen. When people reach to this conclusion that this is a real, this is a genuine and good way to step in, then they are ready to even sacrifice themselves for that.
Yes.
You see, so first they need to theoretically prepare the world, the whole nations and communities who are going to be the subject of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. They need first to theoretically prepare the world for the for the uprising of Imam, and then to make them to listen to the orders and to the words of Imam alayhi salam. Then when the circle of companions reaches, for example, 313, and the uprising will begin, and they will start this battle with the oppressors. And when the second group of companions have been completed, that is 10 to 12,000, then they will do their action in the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that it has been even mentioned in the narrations that the kind of way that they deal with people and with nations, it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Unfortunately, this is the end of the program and we don't have time actually to continue. But dear audience, we are going to continue our discussion, our upcoming sessions, inshallah. And the characteristics of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif, may Allah hasten his reappearance. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes, you can visit our website, that is parstoday.ir. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
مهدينا في الأزمان شع ضياءه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه مهدينا في الأزمان شع ضياءه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه